It's time for the weekly edition of Legacy Living with Jeff Kennedy. Tips to help you grow, protect, and conserve your wealth for generations to come.
The following is a rebroadcast of an earlier program.
Good morning. Welcome to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy, here each and every week with financial news and analysis and strategies to help you protect your wealth and the legacy you'll leave behind. We got lots to cover this morning. Glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. And Steve, or what's your name? Scott, man.
Fred.
It's been a week. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know.
I'm thinking about Steve Blumenthal and all the stuff he's writing in this day that we've got, or this week of volatility.
Well, so I don't mind being compared
Steve
to Mr. Blumenthal.
Well, I'll pass that compliment along to him.
All right, you do that then.
Scott, Jared with you this morning as well. Guys, we got a lot to talk about. Volatility still in the marketplace. Of course, there's any number of reasons why this market could be and is volatile at the moment. People come in the office all the time wanting to know, is it the election? Is it the price of oil? Is it this? Is it that? China, trade wars, whatever. And as humans, we want to ascribe reasons to that. But as we'll talk some today, there may not be any one particular catalyst, or the catalyst that does it may not be the obvious one. But there's a lot of stuff brewing underneath the surface, and folks are beginning to feel it out there. And if that's you, be sure to tune in today. Stay with us. If you are tuned in, stay with us for the entire program, because we're going to talk about what those risks are and what you can do about them. Also, we're going to talk about, as we're approaching the end of the year, some tax strategies, tax considerations, and ways to get money out of your IRA tax-free, if you're interested in that information. Be sure and stick around. There's a couple ideas that we can share with you there that require some planning and a little bit of effort, but if you take some action on that, you can absolutely have your cake and eat it too in that regard, that being putting money in pre-tax in the front door and taking it out with no tax on the back door. So be sure to stick around for that. So Scott, Jared, good morning, fellas. How are y'all?
Good morning. Greetings Crickets. To you. Doing well.
Crickets. Nobody's...
I was waiting for Jared.
I see. Jared's doing well.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
What an honorable guy you are. You've been such a gentleman, Scott.
Well, that's the myth. That's the thing that I want people to think about me. So,
yeah. Jared, let's talk a little bit about the volatility this week. We saw Monday a 600-point down day on the Dow, and the S&P and NASDAQ down as much or more than the NASDAQ. I think that day was down 3%. Is that right?
That sounds about right. There's definitely been a increasing volatility here, which gets our attention. But it says that we should be aware of what is going on in the market. It does not give us any indication that we need to be changing what we are doing in the market. We don't need to get off our game plan. Your long-term game plan is either going to be buy and hold, and if that's your long-term game plan, well, by all means, I guess you could stick with it. If you are doing something besides just sitting on the sidelines and watching what is going on, there's definitely some interesting things. We've talked about how we started off the year with just a relative blip on the radar, but compared to what that had been 9 years before, that was a real attention getter, and it hasn't been any different these past few weeks. It's we're starting to form not necessarily any concrete patterns, but we are getting to see enough volatility, enough up and down action on our technical charts that we can see that some support areas are being tested. Now, we've had huge days, huge down days, but we've also had some pretty large up days in there as well. So when you're looking longer to intermediate term, we don't see a whole lot of trouble here, but again, definitely some things we want to keep our eyes on.
Well, and also, you're going to want to have a plan to move when the time comes. When you say, well, we don't see any reason to move, we're not moving, all into cash or some other asset class right now, but that day will come. We know it will. It's not different this time. And with 90% of the daily equity flows, that is money going into various mutual funds and so forth, going into passive indexes, there's going to be a rush for the exits at some point, and that liquidity, that buyer that keeps keeps buying and pushing the prices back up when the prices come down, buying the dips, so to speak, won't be there anymore.
Right. It seems all too familiar. What we're looking at is a very long in the tooth bull market that we've seen run up, led by a far a handful of giant tech stocks. Back in 2000, it was a very similar situation there, and we had some pullbacks, but a lot of people saw that as just buying opportunities for, you know, the stocks they felt as though they had missed out on. You know, when stock is up to $1,000, ooh, you know, I should have bought it at 800. When it comes back to 800, people think, there's my buying opportunity. But they didn't look back a little further and see where it was a couple of years ago. Oh, that was $100. Why does it move so quickly? The market really isn't sure what these what the valuations are. We get a little bit of news coming out about earnings or missed earnings growth, and the market sometimes determines that's a call for a huge swing in the actual value of a company. We know it doesn't work that way, but sometimes a little trigger can set off the market, and they don't. The market participants don't necessarily make most sound decisions when they're trying to determine a company's intrinsic value. Like I said, we've seen it all before in the situation. You know, when you look on the surface, it definitely seems very familiar, harkening back to the early 2000s.
You're listening to Legacy Living Financial Strategies this morning as we talk about the dangers inherent in this marketplace and the volatility that's popping up. And, you know, Scott, people have kind of become complacent because there have been those buyers and that liquidity, you know, that supported that fallout when the market would come down. There's buyers rushing in, and there's been money coming in from all over the globe because, you know, this is the U.S. economy is the only bright spot around the globe at the moment, really, particularly with emerging markets in solidly in bear market territory at this point. But eventually, when all the buyers are in, where are the buyers going to come from? And that seems like a no-brainer question, but people ask about, you know, this market's just going to keep going up forever, or what's happening? And, you know, eventually the fat lady will sing, so to speak, and they'll all be in, and then there'll be no more buyers to pick up those tickets for sale that people want to get rid of, and they'll be able to sell. But it'll be quite lower price than they expected.
Exactly. I mean, just basically the question you asked before, you know, will this market go on and on? The short answer, well, no, it won't. I mean, it didn't in the early 2000s. It didn't in 2007 and 2008. And eventually it's not going to go now. And it's like you said earlier, we don't know exactly what it is that's going to be the tipping point, but it's going to happen sometime, and not in the far distant future either.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, as Jared said, we're not looking at anything next week or by the end of this year or maybe even in 2019. Who knows? It depends on how, you know, a number of different factors. But certainly in the next year to 2 years, we're going to see, very likely going to see that recession. Interestingly, you know, tech has been driving a lot of of these index values of late, particularly the big ones like Amazon and Apple and so forth. And, you know, there's been some big sell-offs in tech. You know, I think there's a statistic, 80% of the index performance thus far year to date in 2018, it was due to three stocks only, essentially. That's pretty thin. And that may not even, because this information was from a couple of weeks ago, that may not even be the case anymore as things have kind of come back down and flattened within this particular week. So, you know, having a strategy to help you avoid that liquidity in your, or that lack of liquidity and that volatility in your portfolio is important. And having it before the storm begins, you know, going out and trying to board up the windows and tie everything down in the middle of the Category 3 hurricane isn't the best timing.
Well, it's like we all learned this week. Once the snow starts flying, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for you to go out and run and get the eggs, the milk, and bread at the store.
Yeah. Right. A little pre-planning helps, definitely. And so that's what we encourage people to do. It's not like we're saying, you know, the sky is falling, get out of stocks. That's not our thing at all. We, as you know, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, we're agnostic to the tools. We, you know, all financial tools have value and validity in specific circumstances. So if you're listening to some guy who says, I hate annuities, for example, and he throws that baby completely out with the bathwater, then you might want to wonder what his angle is. What is he pushing? Why does he hate annuities so much? It's just an inanimate object. You know, it's a tool that does very much good for some people, the right people, and in the right environments. But right now, is it right for you? Who knows? But you need to have that analysis done and decide on that, but don't blindly go in saying, you know, I hate this product or that.
I can almost sum up what the Kennedy Wealth Group philosophy is. It's two things. It's one, it's kind of like you're going to go wherever there are profits to be made. Mm. And the other one is kind of the roadrunner philosophy of just, you know, being fast, being nimble, but keeping an eye out for when the train comes so that when the train comes, you open the door and you let Wile E. Coyote get the train and not the clients.
Yeah, well, that's a good example. I mean, and you put us in good company. I appreciate that summary because, you know, Warren Buffett said there's always a bull market somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do follow that example, and we like to remain nimble and go find those targets of opportunity and get out of harm's way when the bullets and missiles start flying back at us. So this is a strategy we've espoused for years, and we feel very comfortable with the volatility as it is. And, you know, if our clients forget about it because they've had long and hard lessons learned in their past experiences with brokers or doing it themselves, and they call and say, oh, we got to get out of the market. I say, well, you know, Mr. Jones, you're not in the market. As far as that goes, I mean, you've got a few stock, you know, exposure to stocks, but these managers with their rules-based risk-managed, you know, strategies are able to help us move out of those places. But, you know, a lot of what you have is in other things that are going to provide good current income and opportunities for capital gain. So off-market things that are not correlated in that regard. We'll talk more about those types of strategies when we come back. Stick with us because it's, it's information is not power. Knowledge is not power, but action based on that information is power. So stick around for some actionable items here on Legacy Living Financial Strategies. You're listening to Talk Radio 930 WTAD. For all you Rush fans out there, there you go. There's a little morning dose of Rush for
you. Time to wake up.
Get some blood flowing out there. Yeah, grab a coffee and thanks for being with us. Stick with us as we talk about some volatility and what you can do about it here on Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy, Scott Hardy, and Jared Wicks alongside as well. This morning, fellas, we're going to lay some strategies on people this morning so they can do something. As we left the bottom of the last segment, you know, I mentioned, you know, knowledge is not power, and you've got to do something with this information. What are you doing about it? You know, have you done anything different this time than the last financial meltdown? If not, why not? I mean, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. It is interesting now how we, as we get to the end stages, the last innings of this bull market game, if you will, how people predictably and right on time are all wanting to go into the indexes. They're wanting to buy the S&P 500. They're wanting to buy the NASDAQ and just live there, whatever. Because right now it feels comfortable, it feels safe, and there's a lot of people who have that false sense of security. They think there's going to be that safety net because there have been so many times when the market came down and it just ended up being a buying opportunity, and you buy the dips, as they say, and that'll work only for so long. But if you think about a game of musical chairs, eventually the music stops, and unlike the game of musical chairs, it won't just be, in my opinion, one chair being pulled out, so to speak. There's going to be a lot of people left without a chair or without an exit, however you want to carry out that analogy. But don't, you know, we're suggesting don't let that be you. You know, invest against the grain to some extent. I mean, there's a time to get on the wave and ride it. But man, sometimes you got to be prepared to buck that trend, and because that's what Sir John Templeton said. You know, you buy when others are selling, you sell when others are buying. Jared, that's the way to make money, but that ain't so easy necessarily.
Well, buy low, sell high. We all know that, but it's obviously much more difficult in practice because that's not what people are really doing. Individual investors and some advisors as well tend to follow the crowd. And following the crowd right now, like you said, is only chasing after the returns of a handful of companies. The comparison we would like to use is you want the soldiers out there fighting the battle, not the generals leading the way. And the generals, I wouldn't even say the generals are leading the way. Right now you have the Joint Chiefs of Staff leading the way, and that is about it. When you look at the earnings growth and you look at the stock price momentum of, you know, the other 490 out of the S&P 500, it really tells a different story than what the overall index is telling us, you know, even before last month when it was just up and up. Again, it's only a handful of stocks there. So if you are following what has become a real trend here, which is the index investing, that's putting your money into all of these stocks, thinking that, you know, rising tide is going to lift all boats. When, as you mentioned earlier, you know, when the tide starts coming back in, it's likely to sink very quickly. And where are you going to go? I mean, what options do people have, Jeff?
Yeah, well, you know, they can just use some alternatives and diversify away from those market options that most people think are comprise the entire market. You know, there's more to life than stocks and bonds. And it's an interesting time we're in, Jared, because you've got this kind of twin bubble type of thing where bonds and stocks are simultaneously overvalued. You know, people with any kind of means today have only invested in a time frame when bonds were going up in value. Prices were coming down. Remember double-digit interest rates? Remember you could get a CD in the teens and mortgage rates were mid to high teens? Bonds, or as interest rates have come down over that time frame, that's very bullish for bond investors because they can actually make money on those bonds, not just earn an income and interest, but they can actually make money. But, you know, the opposite is true on the other way, going the other direction. And so here we sit at a time that, you know, as it's been described, has no match in modern history. I'm not, you know, going back a generation and a half or so, where both bonds and stocks were sitting in a precarious place. So that typical bond safety net is not going to be there. So what we use oftentimes is off Wall Street private equity opportunities. You know, nothing fancy, but certainly some things that are non-traded. You know, they're out of that volatility risk marketplace. Yeah, a lot of what we do in that regard is non-liquid, but that helps save those investors from themselves at times when they want to hit the exit at the wrong time. I mean, we've seen that year after year. The studies show retail investors end up buying high and selling low, just the opposite of what you want to do. And so having something that's structured that way and allows the managers to manage to an end result, not a monthly or quarterly result. That's what's tough about publicly traded companies. You know, they've got to get that dividend out there now, make it look great now, get that stock price up there now. But that may not be the best long-term strategy for the company,
mm-hmm.
You know. And so there are a lot of things that you can do in that area. We can't really talk specifics here because certain things require certain criteria to be qualified as an investor in it. But certainly for almost every investor, there are opportunities to get away from that risk that is extant in the stock and bond markets. Because most people have their exposure there in mutual funds, And so there's a lot less control that there. But the insidious thing about that is, Jared, people think they're diversified. That's what they've told they are. And certainly in a mutual fund, they're more diversified than they would be if they had a handful of stocks and that kind of concentration. But that's not the kind of diversification that will protect you when there's a broad market sell-off.
No, what you're talking about there as far as diversification within, you know, a specific mutual fund or even an indexed ETF is that studies indicate that the performance of any individual stock, for example, about 70% of that stock's price move is correlated directly to the movements of the market. You know, another 15, 20% or so is related to what sector is it, whether it's an automotive stock, whether it's a bank stock, et cetera. So buying a basket of those stocks that have a relatively high correlation isn't providing a lot of real diversification when you need it. Now, the type of investments you're talking about is a way to provide some real diversification, some low correlation, sometimes even negative correlation to the overall markets. And not only are you getting some real diversification there, these type of investments can, I won't say force, but help allow an investor to take the emotions out of the investing by allowing them or forcing them to stay put where they are, not necessarily, you know, trying to take a loss on something, but to help you get into the mentality of not following the crowd, which will allow you to buy low and sell high, which again, in theory, we're all on board, but in practice, it becomes very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, people have fallen into this low diversity trap, as I've heard it been called, due to the complacency of everything. And, you know, it's not different this time. The question really is not whether there will be a crisis. It's just a matter of when. You know, in the last 50 years, we've seen 7 or 8 major crises and a lot of more localized ones. So the likelihood of that next one is quite high. People are feeling that. I mean, I'm hearing it more and more in the office when we talk with folks who come in and they're nodding their heads. They know. I mean, we're preaching to the choir, right? But, you know, it's the factors are all lining up that point to that next crisis coming, and those things are pretty clear. But the timing is challenging. So again, you know, it's something that you want to be looking at while the storm clouds are still far off on the horizon. Right? Sunny, that's the time to be doing some planning. You can do it clear-headed. You can really evaluate what it is you want to do and not do something in a panic at the wrong time. So, you know, I encourage people to go to the website, KennedyWealthGroup.com, look around there, go to the phone, pick it up, call us and set up that schedule or schedule that appointment just for that second opinion. See what we're talking about here. We can get into much more specifics for your situation, help you understand how to put this into practice for yourself. You know, we're that much closer now, going on 10 years since the bottom of the market in March of 2009. People have forgotten a lot of that pain. But with the volatility in the last few weeks, they're starting to get a little bit of recollection of that. And if that's you and you want to get some help with planning here, give us a call at 217-221-1300, 217-221-1300 to get that complimentary no obligation appointment. Have us review what you've got going on and see what kind of ideas might be able to help you. On those same lines, and planning requires tax strategies as well. You got to think about the implications there. We'll talk some more about that when we come back this morning. You're listening to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy. We will be right back after this break. Stick with us. Good morning. Welcome back to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. Thanks for being with us this morning. We're here each and every week to help you protect your wealth and the legacy you will leave behind. Thanks for joining us, Scott and Jared, alongside again this morning. Guys, I didn't want to beat this dead horse too much more, but just some of the things that I find interesting in my reading about the coming financial crisis, whatever that may look like. This is important to know because you need to know a little bit of this macro economic data, this information, because otherwise you're making guesses at what's happening. People want to give a reason to why the market sold off this week or last week or why it's up or what have you. But oftentimes it's not Jared, some headline necessarily, even though in hindsight we go, oh, it was the Fed decided not to raise rates this week or something. That's why the market rallied. Or, Trump's talking tariffs again, so the market sold off. That's in hindsight. They're trying to lay blame or make an excuse or find a reason. That's human nature, but it's really just supply and demand, right, Jared?
Exactly, Jeff. All we're seeing in the increased volatility here is kind of a bigger disagreement between buyers and sellers. Mm. Now, on each day, you could pick out something that you could use to justify, sellers taking control for the day or buyers taking control for the day. But anything that's within about a 10% move, is really just what we call market noise. It's not until you get buyers and sellers getting together and agreeing on prices that are significantly outside that normal range when you really should be or could potentially be looking at a real reason for the market to move that much. Like you said, it's just the intraday little moves. Even 600 points on the Dow Jones is a big move, but percentage wise, it's really not that much anymore. It may be worth mentioning for the talking heads for the day, but for long-term investors, 2.5% move is not anything incredible. Like I said, it's something we're going to want to pay attention to, but we're not going to focus on, we're not going to change our overall investment strategy because of a couple days like that.
Would you say, Jared, that it's more of like a 10% move? Would that really get your attention? Is that the range you're talking about?
Well, we've seen a pullback from top to bottom of about 10%, which, like I said, is noticeable. That's the official cutoff for what we consider a correction. But again, that's only a correction. That's not a change from bull market to bear market. It sets off some particular indicators for technical strategies, but we know that the market stocks have been significantly overpriced. So a 10% pullback is not wholly unexpected. It needs to happen and maybe even more. But once we start getting beyond that, once we get past the 20% and so, that's when the market has historically overreacted. Once it hits that point, you can see something well beyond a pullback to what we might consider normal or average.
It makes me nervous about where people are invested today. And I see this anecdotally in statements that come into my office all the time, and people are 80, 90, 100% into equities and so forth. That's excessive risk taking at this point, at this high point. Not to say market couldn't go higher in terms of stocks a little bit from here, but from where I sit, it looks like there's more risk than reward at this point. But nonetheless, people are piling in there, taking what I would consider to be excessive risk. It's hard to. They don't really see it though. They don't see it as such because there's been 10 years almost of just straight up. But it's impossible to build a bubble on an asset where investors and companies see no risk, right? They mm-hmm. or where they see extraordinary risk. If they see the risk, they're going to be cautious to get out of there. Like in March of 2009, there weren't that many people that were all gung-ho about buying at that point, but that was the right place and the right time to be buying. But because we're human beings with emotions, you know, you think you could sit here now and go, oh, yeah, I'd buy when the market bottoms out. Would you really?
Yeah.
Because who knew that that was the bottom, obviously, at that point. But there were trading algorithms that could see that momentum shift and give you the opportunity to get back in at those right times. Not you're going to catch the absolute bottom or get out right at the absolute top, but you want strategies that are emotionless, if you will, and can help you do that. But, you know, bubbles happen under the belief that there is no risk attached to the rising valuations, and nobody can argue that stock valuations have risen greatly over the last 10 years. But this time is not different. It's that belief that will cause people to really take that extra risk and ultimately get burned on that thing. You know, I've heard a different theory recently, guys. We've talked a lot with Steve Blumenthal, obviously, and John Malden, and those guys both think that this next round of market pain will be similar to 07, 08, 09, when market was down 50% in a matter of about a year and a half. John Malden refers to that as the Great Reset, but I saw another prognosticator essentially saying, and this was from the Von Mises Institute, which is an interesting supply-side fundamental economic shop or think tank, if you will. They said it might be more like a Japanese financial crisis, which, if you remember, that was kind of like a long sayonara from the Japanese. The Nikkei was up over 40,000 in the 80s, and in 1989 it crashed quickly down to, what, Jared, below 8,000, I think? And it still hasn't come back. We're going on 30 years since that market. Next year will be 30 years anniversary of the peak in the Nikkei. And it's just barely recovered over half of that in 30 years almost.
Wow.
So that wouldn't
there
be...
Definitely
a bit of... I mean, I'm sorry, Jared, but that wouldn't be like the sell-off and the immediate pain ripping the Band-Aid off, so to speak. That'd be bleeding to death over 29 years, essentially.
That's more like chopping the arm off, you're right. And what I was going to say is, within the Japanese economy, it was more than just the inequity sell-off. There was a fundamental shift in the economics of Japan and how everything was running there. We don't have time to get into that now, but you are right. There is potential for not just, you know, a quick drop and then you'll climb your way back up, a V correction.
Mm-hmm.
There's potential. We saw in 2008, it was 10 years ago, but a lot of the foundations there are still the same. We have, more people may be aware of them, but there are still pretty intricate securities out there that can potentially unbalance or crack the foundation of our entire investment mechanisms here in the country. Now, I take heart. News is coming out of Berkshire Hathaway, and the Warren Buffett has been, the second half of this year, investing heavily into financials such as J.P. Morgan, increased their share in Bank of America. And we know that Warren Buffett is a long-term investor, and to see him putting additional billions of dollars into these financial companies, although Warren Buffett could be wrong, just like any investor, it does give me a little bit of confidence, at least, that he believes we're on some relatively sure footing. He knows that he can ride out a 50% drop in asset prices, because he's not there to make a quick buck. He's looking way down the road.
Yeah, and he's a little different than most investors in that he's buying the businesses themselves, not the stock of the business. And that's another, you know, that's a big difference that people don't realize. You know, our friend Tom Harden has pointed out to us before on the show here that, if you look at the volatility in the S&P, you've got up years and down years and so forth, but there's never been a year where all the companies of the S&P had a net losing, bottom line revenue year. you know, as a conglomerate, they've mm-hmm. made money. But you can't say the same of those investors who are buying their stock that's traded on the public market. And there's where therein lies the risk. Right? You don't have control over that, especially with all the mutual funds and the ETFs and so forth, because you may say, I'm not going to sell, I'm going to hold through, but your neighbor may have to with his RMD or he's going to put a roof on his house or just wants to take a trip. You're going to liquidate some shares or they're just going to get scared and sell. And so those are problems. So, I mean, we could go on and on why this market's risky, but I think most people know it. I think they know in their gut, hey, this can't go on forever. And if that's you want to get a second opinion or a third opinion, or you want to just get an opinion because you've just been doing, you know, you got your 401k and it's built up, you're still at work with that, and you're like, man, this is scary. What can I do with it? Well, you can do an in-service distribution at 59 and a half. Get that Corvette out, park it in the garage, get it off the street and away from the storm. Winter's coming, as the saying goes, the Game of Thrones fans.
Exactly.
So, and you should probably protect that asset that's going to take you into retirement. So if you'd like to do that, give us a call at Kennedy Wealth Group, 217-221-1300, 217-221-1300, or check us out on the web and get that free consultation and get yourself on track to protect against the coming financial storm. We got one more segment this morning. We're going to talk taxes. Coming up the end of the year, what can you do to get money out of your IRA tax-free? Stick with us. You're going to hear about that. This is Legacy Living Financial Strategies on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Good morning. Welcome back to Legacy Living Financial Strategies, our final segment this morning. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy, Scott Hardy, Jared Wicks, along with you as well this morning. And we're going to help you a little bit with some tax planning here at the end of the year. It's things you want to think about. You know, we've talked many times on the show here about the implications of tax planning or tax consequences, if you will. And if you don't do something about it, you may really have some negative unintended consequences when it comes time to pull that money out of those qualified plans you've been so diligently stuffing money in over the years and during your working years. You know, there's a lot more to it, fellas, than just market risk. There's tax rate risk out there, which is a big deal. When we look at the debt and the demographics and all that sort of thing, which is another show. In fact, we talked about it last week. So if you need to learn more about that, you can go out on the station side, get the podcast, Scott, and how do they do that?
Exactly. Just go to WTAD.com and look in the upper right-hand corner. You'll see a symbol that looks like a pair of headphones. Click on that. That'll take you to the podcast page. Scroll down and look for Legacy Living, and then just look for the episode.
Yeah, so last week's episode was we talked with David McKnight about this coming tax freight train that's going to run over people. And if you think about it, you've put that money away in your 401k, your IRA, you didn't pay taxes on it yet, you felt good about it, and your CPA told you were brilliant for avoiding the taxes on that thing that year that you put it in there. And may have even used that term or something similar, like, look how much money you saved putting that money in and avoiding the taxes. But you know you didn't save any money. You just postponed that payday to another day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people come in and ask me all the time, do I have enough money, Jeff, to retire? Am I going to get there? Am I going to be okay? Well, it's a little hard to know that answer if you have all your money in an IRA. If you've saved and done so with the best of intentions and done a great job, but it's all in a taxed later account, like an IRA or a 403B or 401K or whatever forms those things take, well, you don't know what your tax rate's going to be that year in the future, right? So follow that logic on down the line a little bit, and you'll realize that you don't really know how much money you have because you don't know which percentage of that is yours. I mean, Jared, Uncle Sam can, with the stroke of a pen, change his partnership percentage, and he's so therefore rooting for you to do a great job in your investing.
We've seen it before, and we know that Uncle Sam is going to get his. Going back to the basics real quick, people may not be thinking about it, but as you're saving away all this hard-earned money in your 401k or your personal IRA accounts, once you hit 70 and a half, Uncle Sam is going to force you to start withdrawing that money in increasingly large percentages every year. And that is so that he can extract his cut of that. And you're right, this Congress can do pretty much anything that they want at about any time. Now, it may irk some voters, but there's going to come a point where they are forced to do something. And if your plan all along is to, you know, start at your 3.65%, you know, your 71st year and start withdrawing there, if you have a plan, that number could change at any time. Those tax brackets can change at any time. That control is out of your hands, but there is a way if you start now, and look intermediate, long-term down the road, there's a way you can take some of that control back into your plans so that you can have an actual plan that is meaningful beyond just the paper that you're writing it on.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to get that done, in my opinion, nowadays is to be in a place where you're not taxed on that money down the road. You pay the freight where you dance with the devil, you know, and we got a good gift, you know, back at the end of last year in that form of the new tax bill, Scott, where they lowered the tax brackets, yes, but that wasn't the most meaningful piece of what they did. What they did was they expanded those brackets. I mean, you can go all the way up to income of $315,000 plus your standard deductions of 24, so you're talking you know, 339 roughly of income and still be only in the top marginal rate of 24%. That's below the 25% tax bracket last year was at 76,000, I believe, if memory serves. That's huge. You can move money and pay taxes at a rate you know what they're at and realize that they may never be that low again in your lifetime. Because of, and Jared kind of hit the nail on the head there, they may not have a choice, they being the politicians, have a choice but to plug the holes that are in the coffers because of the debt that we have, $21.5 trillion roughly at this point. And, you know, as interest rates go up, that debt service just gets more and more difficult. But also, the demographics and the unfunded liabilities that come along with that these baby boomers that are, you know, now coming of age and retiring and putting a strain on the government and those programs. Social Security is going to be difficult, but Medicare and Medicaid will dwarf that.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, about all that saving, all that money sitting there. The government could look at that as revenue.
Yeah, so getting money out of there in efficient ways is important. You need to be able to get access to that money because, as the saying goes, it's not what you make but what you keep that matters. And that goes for market risk and for stock or tax risk. And so one of our favorite ways to get money for the future to do some planning is to get money into tax-free. And there's, you know, just a couple of different ways to do that. That's Roth in its various form, Roth IRA, Roth 401k, 403b, and that sort of thing. And certain types of cash value life insurance. Those are the only two vehicles that allow that kind of tax-free growth and tax-free forever. Pay the tax now at a rate you know and never pay it again. You can learn more about that in a book that we have available to you if you give us a call at the office, and that's The Power of Zero, and that's the 0% tax bracket that's referring to. That's a thing, and people are doing it, and I suggest you at least explore it because it would be a prudent way to go. And, you know, if they call us at the office, 217-221-1300, that's here in Quincy, 221-1300, or go on the website and you can send us an email there, kennedywealthgroup.com. We can, you know, set up an appointment for you to come in and talk about it and give you a copy of the book to take and read. Now, a real interesting strategy that not very many people know about, they don't take advantage of, is if you're in that demographic, that situation Jared was talking about there, and you're 70 and a half, you're having to take these required minimum distributions, maybe you don't really want to take them because you just don't want to add to your taxable income, or you're going to just take it out and then put it in the bank and write a check to your church or your favorite charity anyway. Well, you can do a thing called a qualified charitable distribution. This is for people who are in that R&D range, that required minimum distribution place, guys, where they're 70 and a half and they need to be taking an RMD anyway. You can satisfy that RMD and pay no tax on it by sending it directly from your IRA to the institution that is the 501c3 organization, church, charity, whatever that might be. It's a very interesting way to get money out tax-free. And you know, so you look at it, really it's something that you probably should do at the beginning of the coming year, so start doing some planning now. But, you know, if you haven't done all your philanthropic giving here at the end of the year and you haven't met your RMD, maybe this is a way for you to do that as well. So qualified charitable distribution. Ultimately, what you want to be able to do is get your IRAs down low enough, though, where your standard deductions will cover whatever you pull out, thereby getting that money out of your IRA tax-free long-term. So a couple of strategies there, a couple of ideas. If that blew by you real quick and you didn't grasp it quite, then call us at Kennedy Wealth Group. We'd love to help you understand the tax implications of your financial and retirement planning. Hopefully we've stirred some thought with you this morning and encouraged you to take some action to mitigate the risk of volatility in the market and taxes. And if that's you, give us a call to set up your free consultation. 217-221-1300 here in Quincy, 221-1300, or on the web at kennedywealthgroup.com. Thanks for listening in. Have a great week, and we will talk to you again next week.
Join us next week for another edition of Legacy Living with Jeff Kennedy. Every Wednesday at 8:50 and Saturdays at 9. Right here on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
Registered rep, broker-dealer, Center Street Securities. Member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services through Center Street Advisors and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Kennedy Wealth Group and CSA are independent of CSS.